You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 22nd, 2021. Stand back. I don't know how big this is going to get. We know it's going to be big. The House today passing legislation to make Washington, D.C. our 51st state. Strictly party line vote in the House, 216 to 208, all Republicans rejecting it. But President Biden, of course, weighing in, and they're still hoping they can get it through the Senate, which would be 50-50 split. If they actually have a vote that's 50-50, then the VP, Kamala, would pass the deciding vote. So, yes, D.C. would become a state. And with that, get representation in Congress that can vote, and at the same time, two U.S. senators, and you know they're going to be Democrat. You got some of the noise going back and forth. One New York Democrat, Congressman Mondaire Jones, accusing certain Republicans not wanting D.C. to be statehood because the district's not wide enough in their minds. This is what he said in a floor speech. I've had enough of my colleagues' racist insinuations that somehow people of Washington, D.C. are incapable or even unworthy of our democracy. One Senate Republican said that D.C. wouldn't be a well-rounded working-class state. He said, I had no idea there was so many syllables in the word white. Then he also said one of my House Republican colleagues said D.C. shouldn't be a state because the district doesn't have a landfill. My goodness, with all the racist trash my colleagues have been bringing to this debate, I can see why they're worried about having a place to put it. Now, he delivered those on the floor of the House. Republicans immediately asked for the words to be struck, and the freshman Democrat said, okay, I'll just withdraw them. But President Biden's already signing on to make D.C. a state. We all know why. And, of course, they want to get this federal election law passed through. So the White House has condemned what they call police violence after the police shooting yesterday of the 16-year-old Makia Bryant in Columbus, Ohio. We're going to get into that in a lot more detail. We did some in the last hour, more coming up in this hour. The White House press secretary said, Jen Psaki, the killing of 16-year-old by the Columbus police is tragic. I will agree with that. And then she says she was a child. I'm going to say 16 is a child. Okay, they're not of age where they can do some things that 18 would, but when they say a child, I want you to keep in mind it's a 16-year-old, not a 13-year-old. And, of course, yeah, we should investigate what happened, and was there some other way that it could have been done? The officer arrives, she's got a knife, she's raising it, getting ready to strike someone, so he actually saved a young black girl, probably the same age. But you're not going to hear that part of the story. And you got Jen Psaki making her statements, again, without all the information available. But I've got a piece of information they should also be looking at. You talk about they were concerned about that child, and I am too. It should not come to that. Something should have been done long before she went out and had a knife in her hand. But in Ohio, also Ohio, not Columbus, Ohio, a 13-year-old girl, 13, charged with murder. So we hear Jen Psaki says she's just a child. She's just a child with a knife, basically. A 13-year-old, also in the state of Ohio, is now charged with murder. She had a knife, and she fatally stabbed another 13-year-old girl. No one was there to stop her from killing the other. And you know what would happen? And I don't know if this child is white or black or anything else, but the bottom line is no one was there to stop her from killing another 13-year-old girl. So a child killed a child with a knife, and they're both girls. It can happen on any level, regardless of age and gender or religion, anything, color. NBA LA Lakers not saying anything about LeBron James or any of his sponsors since he tweeted out accusing the police officer involved in that shooting of the 16-year-old in Ohio as in attacking a black child, basically. He put up a picture of a police officer at the scene with a caption on Twitter, "You're next, #accountability. Many started slamming LeBron James for using that violence basically to incite violence against police officers. James Litter said, I was trying to take it down. I couldn't get it down. And I want to know why the hell Twitter didn't bring it down. And, of course, his backers and sponsors, they're not saying word one. If some other big star that might have been a different color had said something like that, what do you think, there'd be a different reaction? Oh, and speaking of reactions and differences, we've got demonstrators storming the Oklahoma Capitol. It's kind of reminiscent of what happened at the Capitol, our U.S. Congress, but it's a little bit different. They're chanting Black Lives Matter. They want the House of Representatives to not approve a bill that would provide protections to motorists fleeing riots. Representatives are in lockdown.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
City officials also released extended body camera footage from the officer who shot Bryant. Columbus police identified as Nicholas Reardon. As seen on his body cam video, when Reardon arrives, he quickly gets out of his patrol car and runs toward a group in a driveway of a home. That's when Micaiah Bryant moves toward another person appearing to push her to the ground. Reardon can be heard shouting to get down, and that's when the girl appears to lunge at another female in pink. The officer shouts to get down several times, then fires his gun. Four shots can be heard on the tape.
You ain't shoot my thing! You shot me!
Police released this slowed-down version of the body camera footage as well. It shows what appears to be a knife in Bryant's hand as she raises it above her head toward the person wearing pink. After the shooting, the female in pink, who Bryant appears to lunge towards, spoke to officers.
That's what the police
that,
did.
That lady on the floor?
She came after me.
With a knife?
Yeah, so he got her.
Well, those are the words of the girl in pink that the Makia Bryant, 16 years of age, had the knife aimed at when she was shot by the police officer who had just arrived on the scene. Now, that's the way it was reported by one of the TV stations covering the event. I have posted at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, the full unedited news conference of the police chief, and to my knowledge, it's full unedited. The way I pulled it down, it looked like it's everything complete. There may be some stuff that happened later. But they reveal, of course, the video, let everyone see the video from the police cams and also the 911 calls, trying to be as transparent as possible. Now, if you're getting various information from different news sources, you could certainly be confused because what they were doing in some cases, they were basically hiding real information. And in fact, NBC News is guilty, according to those at Media Research, of actually not running any video of showing the knife in the 16-year-old's hand. And they, when they dealt with the 911 call, they also edited that to give a false impression. Here is a 911 call as it came in to the police headquarters.
Tonight, the city of Columbus releasing two 911 calls that prompted their response Tuesday afternoon.
Ma'am, you need to talk to me.
We got these grown girls over here trying to fight us, trying to stab us, trying to put our hands on our grandma. Get her now.
So you hear her say, girls over here trying to fight us, trying to stab us, get here now. At last check, the police had not identified who made the call. Some are saying it's actually the young girl who was shot. So is it possible, and her grandmother is claiming, similar statement, that her granddaughter got a knife to protect herself and others? That's got to be sorted out. All we know is that the officer gets a report for the dispatcher. We got a 911 call. It's a fight. A knife is involved. So he pulls up and he sees these girls, as you watch the video, tussling and pushing each other around. One gets pushed down. And actually the girl tends to grab her stomach and almost as if she had been stabbed or trying to protect it. It's very unclear. It happened so fast. And I could sit there and look at the video now, but the officer arriving, it's playing out in front of him in real time. And when you talk about real time, let me set a clock for you. We got Officer Nicholas Reardon being dispatched to this location after that 911 call, which you just heard, and the dispatchers had told Reardon basically what's going on to the best of their knowledge. Now, when he arrives, he sees these girls out in front of a lawn pushing and shoving around. And as you listen to him, he's just trying to get a handle on it, trying to get them to calm down, and then he sees the knife. And then he starts giving an order, and the girl with the knife in the video is actually raising it to attack another girl. And if he doesn't stop it, that girl is going to be stabbed. Maybe not to death, but she's going to be certainly hurt if the girl is affected with a knife. And we're not talking about a little pen knife. We're talking about a blade that looks to be on the video, let's say you give it almost 8 inches on the blade itself. Again, listen how fast this went down for the officer arriving.
Hey. What's going on? Hey, what's going on? Hey, 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 get down, get down, get down, get down.
That fast. 11 seconds. Quentin, I'm going to ask that we play it one more time because I want you folks, you heard it then. I want you to hear it again and imagine you're the officer. When he gets up there, he just said, what's going on? Hey, 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 calm down. What's going on? And then things escalate. You're the officer. What would be your response? Here we go again.
Hey. What's going on? Hey, what's going on? Hey, 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 get down, get down, get down, get down.
What did he say? Three different times, get down, trying to tell her, get down, get away from the girl. Get down. Everybody get on the ground, basically. Did the 16-year-old not hear, didn't care, or who knows? But you also heard the beginning of this segment, the television reporters talking to a police officer talking to the girl that was being pushed between the attacker and a vehicle. She had no way to escape. And she said, yeah, she was trying to stab me, but he got her before she could. So she felt her life was in danger. There's no story about a police officer saving another girl. It is a tragedy that we got a 16-year-old killed. Like, it's a tragedy it ever came to that, however it started. But the officer gets there. He is pulled into a tragedy that he probably wishes, my God, I wish I'd been off today. I had not gotten this call. Even though he knows he saved another girl, he's going to be closely investigated, hauled up and down the flagpole repeatedly just because of what he did do. And he's going to have to justify everything, which you have to do in a shooting. I'm not going to say he should get off without any questioning and everything else. Now, this video that I put up at Larry Connors USA Facebook is, according to the police, exactly the video that came off, I believe, his body cam. But there are also other pieces from others. The George Floyd case, for a long time, the only video we were seeing was when Derek Chauvin was sitting there with his hands in his pocket and his knee on the back of George Floyd's neck. after Floyd is on the ground, face down, handcuffed behind his back for 9+ minutes. We think, yeah, that was obviously way out of line. Well, when it came down to the actual facts presenting the case, the facts presenting the case said he didn't have him like that for that entire 9 minutes. There was a time he did, but they'd also moved his leg to or his knee to the shoulder. So I haven't seen that other kind of video, but that was the evidence presented. And yet the jury still found him guilty on all three counts. The jury made a decision. Did they make a right decision? Did they make a decision under threat? I'm going to explain that in a moment. And again, Derek Chauvin's attorney would be appealing. We'll see where that goes. And the remarks of Congresswoman Waters of the street the other day and others, how much is that going to weigh on any appeal? The jury was never sequestered, which is surprising to many with all the publicity around this. It was hard enough to select a group, a panel, to sit there who could say, yeah, I've heard about it, but it will not influence me. I'm willing to look at the evidence presented. Did they do a wink-wink, or did they really mean it? Or did they get in and they meant it, but then they get into it, they think, you know, I got to go. Who knows? Who knows? But the bottom line is the justice system was used, and he is convicted on three counts at this point. So we have this officer arriving, as we're describing. His police chief then later is also answering questions of reporters. And, of course, one of the first questions is, really? Deadly force in that case? Here we go.
To what degree should an officer opt to use a taser rather than his service weapon?
I cannot respond specifically to this specific incident, but what I can say is when officers are faced with someone employing deadly force can be the response the officer gives. If there's not deadly force being perpetrated on someone else at that time, an officer may have the opportunity to have cover, distance, and time to use a taser. But if those things aren't present and there is an active assault going on in which someone could lose their life, the officer can use their firearm to protect that third person.
That's pretty clear. But he's got to make that decision at that moment. It's all fine for us to sit back and make a decision for him now in the safety of your home and no threat to you. Your heart's not pumping. You're not in the middle of it. You're looking at the video. How would you handle it if you're actually in the situation yourself? And why is there not any remark and praise for saving a life? What we get from the White House is echoing the mantra of everyone else. And it is tragic. I'm not going to deny that whatsoever. But it was tragic before she ever came into the street with that knife. Whatever's going on in the dynamics of her family, she's a foster child apparently, and the other girls there, I don't know. It's kids. It's teenagers. She's 16. Who knows? You remember where you were when you were 16, what kind of mindset you had? Maybe you were just perfect. Maybe you weren't. But in this case, when the officer arrives, he sees it going down. He's hollering, get down, and she's still lifting a knife and getting ready to put it into another girl or slash her. And, of course, the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said it's more evidence of systemic racism. Let me stop you on that for one moment. You want to defund police? You want less police? What would have happened if there was no officer available to go on that call? What do you think would have happened? It may well be what the other story I told you a moment ago in Ohio. Also Ohio, not Columbus, a 13-year-old charged with murder. A 13-year-old girl got a knife, a pen knife, according to this one, a report, at least some kind of small knife, and this 13-year-old girl then took her knife and went and attacked a girl who had been her friend at one point. And for some reason, the girls had a breakup. So the 13-year-old with a knife attacks her friend during an argument. They're both black. Doesn't make any difference. They're children. And the 13-year-old killed the one who had been her friend, stabbed her, slashed her in the neck. There'd been a police officer there. Would he have stopped it? And do you want him to shoot the 13-year-old with a knife to save the other one? I mean, you can make all these judgments you want, but what are you going to do when it comes down to? And then you got the state-controlled media out there rushing around because they want to pound this drum of systemic racism. And when I hear Jen Psaki say, this is a child, and I just told you the one that was shot was 16, and I just told you about another in Ohio, a 13-year-old girl with a knife who actually did kill someone else with her knife. And the state-controlled media still has its narrative running.
Takiyah Bryant, a 16-year-old girl in Columbus, Ohio, called the police for help. An officer was on the scene, and in 22 seconds, he shot her dead.
What if it were a member of your family, your neighbor, in essentially a teenage fight, a schoolyard fight?
So many other black people will face similar fates. The police will not exercise discretion, will not use a reduced sense of engagement to preserve black life.
The officer did preserve black life. He saved another girl. Yes, it's a tragedy. The one had to be shot, but he saved another girl. Just because they're 13 years old or less, don't think they are not deadly if they got a weapon in their hand. But I want you to hear from other social media giants like Joy Reid. That's coming up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My assumption is that this officer is going to be clear, right? I mean, this is going to go down the way most of these shooting cases go down because police have tremendous latitude to use deadly force. Fine. But the problem is, at this point, everything police say to me is just a claim that needs to be proven. Even if unless there's full accounting, they won't tell us who made the 911 call. Neighbors say that the little girl, that Micaiah, made the 911 call. They aren't telling us that. They aren't being fully transparent here. That's why it's very difficult to trust what they're saying.
So we're supposed to trust Joy Reid and the state-controlled media. You think they don't have to verify? They should. They should have to prove everything they're saying, but they don't. They just throw it out there, and if they make a mistake, no big deal. I told you previously at the NBC News, they purposely edited the video where you never saw the knife in the girl's hand. They said she had a knife, but they show a picture of it on the ground. And you also had a report by Daily Beast that quickly rushed out a story that the knife was on the ground when the officer arrived. And they're quoting the girl's 16-year-old Micaiah Bryant, her aunt, as saying that, yeah, my niece is the one who called police, and she had no warning before they shot her. You heard the warnings given. Whether or not she heard them or understood them, I don't know. But she's out there with a knife, and it's not just a little small knife. It's a pretty good blade. And I just told you about a 13-year-old in Ohio, also Ohio, not Columbus, Ohio, a 13-year-old now charged with taking a penknife and slashing the neck of a 13-year-old friend, another girl, killing her. This girl, Micaiah Bryant, when the officer arrives, has a large knife. She's pushed one girl down. He doesn't know if she's stabbed or not, but he sees a knife, and she's raising it over the other girl and going to hit her. They're all black. But you're going to hear the mainstream media say, as it came out of the White House even, we condemn police violence. Once again, black children had to worry. Well, the black child he saved, is anybody going to raise that question? You even had The View co-host Joy Behar, Sonny Halston, whatever her name is, agreeing that they also had an option to de-escalate. Didn't have to use deadly force. Behar said he could have shot his gun in the air. Now, what if he had done that, where do you think the bullet does come down? Now, what if it came down the backyard six blocks away and hits a five-year-old sitting out on the swing set? What are you going to do then? Oh, a cop killed a kid again. Behar said, I look at the tape. I still can't figure it out. Shoot the gun in the air. Warning. Tase a person. Shoot them in the leg. Shoot them in the behind. Shoot them somehow. But the only solution to kill the teenager, there's something wrong with this. Yeah, there is something wrong that it has to get to that point. But you sit there and you're going to make a judgment on this officer. And then you got LeBron James jumping in. He put out a tweet on Twitter, you know, and basically put up a picture of one of the officers at the scene and saying, you're next. Was he calling for a cop to be killed? Here's a retired police officer, Brandon Tatum, Tucson, Arizona.
LeBron James is living on a high horse. He's in a multi-million-dollar house living around nothing but white people. He is not affected by none of this violence. He could care less. And at the drop of a dime, he'll have white officers at his house doing investigations on false claims if there is some. So LeBron James and these wealthy people like the BLM co-founder living in million-dollar houses, they don't care. They just want to push a virtue signal because they have nothing better to do. They're not educated enough to look at things from both sides. And they continue to want to push a narrative that's just not true. And I really wish they would be held accountable and at least ashamed of what they're doing to our country.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good point. Again, that's Brandon Tatum, a retired Tucson, Arizona police officer, and Laura Ingram. I want you to hear more from him. And someone else making a complaint about LeBron James. This might shock you. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website. Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All of these people should be ashamed of themselves coming out lying on this police officer and also lying on that girl. That girl had a knife in her hand and she was getting ready to stab another young black girl in the face. She wasn't just swinging a knife. She was going to stab the girl in the face and she was fatally shot. Officers have every right to use deadly force against another person to protect the life of another individual. These people want there to be hatred and evilness in our country. They want police officers to be demonized. They want police officers in the public to have conflict so they can continue to get better ratings. They can continue to get reelected to keep promising the public something they can never deliver on. I really am sick and tired of listening to these people get on TV with no accountability. They are flat out lying and stoking violence in our communities. This is not hurting white people. This is making other black people become more violent, feel like that their lives are endangered by police, which is a myth. And they're going to end up getting hurt and ended up dying and not having patrols in their communities, which makes their communities more violent. This is not hurting white people. This is hurting black people and it's perpetuated by a lot of black leaders.
Those are the words of Brandon Tatum, a retired Tucson, Arizona police officer, as he appeared on Laura Ingram last night. A black police officer, now retired, and I think he's nailed a lot of it. He said, if you're just trying to perpetuate hate and cause this division, you're doing a great job. And, of course, he also pointed out how the mainstream state-controlled media, as I call it, is actually peddling information, all this stuff, so they can get ratings in many cases. If you can get more people incited and everything, you're going to have great stories. And as you heard him say, the officer saved the life of another young black girl. LeBron James, as I'd mentioned earlier, took to Twitter to explain what he had put up the other day. He put up a tweet with a picture of one of the officers at that scene of the shooting of Micaiah Bryant. The caption read, "You're next." Well, then he got so much flashback, he decided he would try to take it down. He's having trouble taking it down. He didn't get flashback or pushback from the NBA or his Lakers team or any of his corporate sponsors. They keep their mouth shut. They don't want to take a chance to go wrong on that one. But then he finally got up another tweet under his Twitter handle, King James, said, "I'm so damn tired of seeing black people killed by police." I understand that. He said, "I took the tweet down because it's being used to create more hate." Yeah, you did do that. And he said, "But this isn't about one officer. It's about the entire system. They always use our words to create more racism. I am so desperate for more accountability." And yet you put up a tweet showing a picture of an officer and saying, "You're next." What did you do to help? What if it had been a black officer? Because a black officer was at the scene. He took a picture of the white officer. Now, Brandon Tatum, the retired Tucson, Arizona police officer, said, "That doesn't help us. And you're making it harder in our community." And here comes, you want to see something that really should raise, whoa, a complaint coming in about LeBron James and his tweet. This guy, you will know the name as soon as I say it. He posted nearly a two-minute-long video talking about how he's such a fan of the L.A. star LeBron James and admires the work he's done to advocate against social injustice. But he said, "You can't fight every battle. You got to pick your battles." And he said, "This one, LeBron should have waited." And he went on to say, he's saying, "I'm upset with the media because they showed us edited versions of what took place with the girl with the knife." He said, "They made it sound as an officer was overreacting, killing a young black American." You want to know who this is, don't you? Hang on a second. He's saying they want us to overreact, and again, as an officer, we want to believe he overreacted. He killed a young black American. He said, "When I saw the whole thing," and that video is now posted at Larry Connors USA Facebook, "I took it right from the police department news conference. I didn't do anything to filter it or change it." This writer says, "When I saw the full thing, the police had no choice." He responded, "In that instant, as if he hadn't done what he did, it appeared to me another young American would have had her life taken." Signed, O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson. Calling out LeBron James for, "You're targeting an Ohio police officer," and he was doing what he had to do under that situation. I've shared with you before on my belief on O.J. on the trial, and he got off, but that's just, it's justice in the sense of way he handled it, and he's not guilty. And he's certainly entitled, even if he were guilty, to make any comments he wanted. But I think a lot of people say, "Whoa, O.J. Simpson's calling out LeBron on that," and he praises him. But on this case, he said he's wrong, he's just jumping ahead, and LeBron probably was operating on the same kind of clips video, edited video, that gave the false story. He got sucked into that spin that the state-controlled media puts on. He wouldn't be the first. The National Fraternal Order of Police and organization has sworn law officers slamming LeBron James as well for that remark, saying you need to educate yourself. You have a responsibility to do so before you speak. And they're right. He's got a massive platform, 1 million-plus on this Twitter account, probably more than that. Students at the Ohio State University, they're not waiting for any real investigation. They gathered today, and they want to demand their school cut ties with the Columbus Division of Police because of what happened yesterday. Because the officer shot and killed 16-year-old Micaiah Bryant. I wonder if the girl he saved has plans to go to Ohio State University. What about her? You think she's thankful the officer showed up? Oh, hell yes, she is. I mentioned to you earlier, we have the Derek Chauvin trial. It's over. There will be appeals. We'll see where it goes. Same thing as it was with O.J. Simpson. But that's our system. You don't like all the verdicts? But I didn't sit through all the trial of O.J. Neither did I do with Derek Chauvin. So I'm not as informed as a person that's making the decision as a jury. But in this case, both on O.J. all the pretrial publicity that was going on before that, and being a high-profile person, trying to get a jury that would be impartial and not prejudge. And then you have the Derek Chauvin case. I'm looking at a piece written by Joy Pullman, a contributor to The Federalist, executive editor, I should point out, The Federalist. And she said, there's no way in the title Americans can trust the jury's Chauvin verdict. She said, yeah, they found him guilty. She said, but given the circumstances of the trial, it's hard to believe the jury was solely concerned with either truth or justice. It's extremely hard, if not impossible, for any thinking person not to have a reasonable doubt on the outcome. Talking about the judge in the case, they had his quest with the jurors. They had chances to hear media coverage. We had a bloody year 2020 before we ever got to the trial. That's her point. But the bottom line is, we have a verdict. You know, of course, former sheriff of Wisconsin County, I mean, of a Wisconsin sheriff, David Clark. He's a strong conservative. He's always spoken for truth and justice. And, of course, yes, he was a Trump supporter. Former sheriff of Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. He said, you know what? Cops aren't perfect.
For over 39 years, I was a police officer in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For 15 of those years, I was the sheriff of Milwaukee County. I've done everything you can do as a cop, from walking the beat to investigating murder to running the agency. I've met a lot of cops of every race, ethnicity, and background. Here's what I can tell you. Cops are not perfect. That's not a news flash, but this might be. They don't have to be perfect. They have to be excellent. And most officers reach excellence every single day and often under very difficult circumstances. Circumstances you can't imagine and wouldn't want to if you could.
That background was some of the video that's put with his statement. That was part of a seminar he was doing. He also said there is police improvement going on. Just listen.
You can mark social progress by the improvements made by police departments over the last 50 years. Today, police are more professional, better educated, and better trained than at any time in their history. You wouldn't know it, though, if you listened to self-serving, self-righteous politicians and activists. In their version of history, the police are the villains of the story, not its heroes. Like everything else this crowd does, they've got it all backwards.
Again, that's former sheriff of Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, David Clark, and that's part of a presentation he did for Prager University for Dennis Prager's programs. And he also pointed out, really, when you get down to it, often police are not to blame.
The police aren't the problem. The politicians and activists are. The police didn't create the failed urban policies that have locked people into generational poverty. The police aren't responsible for fatherless homes, failing schools, and bad lifestyle choices. And they sure as hell aren't responsible for the lack of respect shown to police officers. It is this lack of respect for authority, fostered over decades by the progressive left and its fear the police narrative, that has led to the needless deaths of so many young black men.
He's right. Police are not responsible for all that. And the lack of respect is a big issue. We're going to get into that more after the break. But let me share something with you very quickly. A Texas school district outside Dallas suspending a teacher. They did a stage photo, her foot pressed against the neck of a black student on the ground on the pavement. She said, I was just being a joke. I told the kid if he didn't come in with his assignment on time, I was going to put my foot on his neck. They're not laughing. And it was a bad decision. More remarks about what police are doing right coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. Got a Lincoln motor and
this is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Why is it that groups like Black Lives Matter, I call them Black Lies Matter, because it's based on the falsehood that police represent a danger to black people, are celebrated by the media and politicians. All this is taking its toll on cops, and even more tragically, on the law-abiding citizens in the neighborhoods that most need a strong police presence. The murder rates in these neighborhoods are going up because lawful, aggressive policing is going down. Heather McDonald of the Manhattan Institute has explained why. She calls it the Ferguson effect, and it's real. It's also common sense. Why police officers reason, put your career at risk if 30 seconds of smartphone video taken out of context can destroy it.
Yeah, those are the words of a former sheriff of Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, David Clark, as he presented something in association with Prager University. Speaking of the BLM, there's a report out that's been, it's a study reported by the left-leaning website, Vox, a left-leaning website, pointing out a non-peer-reviewed study from the University of Massachusetts, a doctorate there, pointing out that a 10%, there's a correlation of the BLM protests correlating with a 10% increase in murders in the areas that had those protests. A 10% increase in murders in those areas where there have been protests by BLM. Of course, exactly why? Well, even the author can't really explain, but suggests that similar to what you just heard former Sheriff Clark say, says the reason for this rise in murders not fully known. One possible explanation is that police morale drops following scrutiny, leading officers to reduce their efforts, thereby emboldening criminals. Another is members of the public voluntarily withdraw from engagements with police after a police homicide delegitimizes the justice system in their eyes. And, of course, we talked about further that a lot of police officers, as you heard former Sheriff Clark say, they just say, why am I going to subject myself to this, me and my family? Doing the best I can, and I make one mistake, I'm going to be nailed to a cross. The other thing, the former sheriff of Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, David Clark, had to say is that what is missing so much is respect.
When Officer Darren Wilson told Michael Brown to get out of the middle of the street in Ferguson, Missouri, did Brown comply? No. When officers in Baltimore told Freddie Gray to stop resisting arrest, did he comply? No. When officers in New York City told Eric Garner to stop resisting arrest, did he comply? No. Here's a useful tip. If you want to avoid a bad outcome with a police officer, follow this simple rule. When a cop gives you a lawful command, obey it, even if you disagree. Whatever problem you are experiencing is not going to be settled on the street. People with complaints need to use the process established for that purpose. Though cops don't have the final say, they do in that moment. How you react can be a matter of life or death. But the idea that a law-abiding citizen has to fear the police is a terrible and destructive lie.
Again, that is the former sheriff of Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, David Clark. And the false claims we were seeing and stories coming out like we did yesterday with the shooting of the 16-year-old, the officer shooting and killing her, that's a tragedy. I don't care how you look at it. But he also saved a child. But you're not hearing that. And that's also a black child. This shouldn't even involve race. It should be their children. But at the same time, when I see everyone rushing out and saying he did not have to shoot this 16-year-old, she just had a knife, probably couldn't have done. And I told you, in the same state, a 13-year-old now charged with killing her 13-year-old girlfriend, and she used a smaller knife. The other thing that comes from David Clark, the former sheriff, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, is, as he says, here's the truth. Please listen.
Here's the truth. Police aren't afraid of walking the streets or being shot by random criminals. They're afraid of being involved in an incident that would label them forever as trigger-happy racists. Are there bad cops? I know firsthand that there are. I've had to fire them. But the overwhelming majority are good, decent men and women concerned about the law-abiding citizens in the communities they serve and are willing to put their lives on the line to protect them. Those who try to convince you, either out of ignorance or out of some ideological agenda, that the police are the enemy, those are the people you should fear. Run from them, not the cops.
Excellent point. You can't blanketly, and we're seeing that, we can't put a blanket condemnation of police, nor can you blanket, and some have, a particular race and label them all one way in your view that that's their all. That's not, it just doesn't happen. Never has. Stereotyping police and our citizens, color, gender, sexual preference, that does nothing to bring us together. It causes division, and as you heard him say, and the Arizona retired police officer, you got people out there that make money on this. They want to see you feud and fight. We need to find a way out for more peace. Which brings us to our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.